probably familiar story to many or most of you. It's from Exodus 17, the first seven verses. It is the story of what happens down the road a little ways as the Hebrews have been let out of Egypt. God has set them free from Egypt, and they are now traveling together. And as there usually are, there are some bumps in the road. So we'll look in on their story, and we'll see what it says to our story. Listen to these words, and listen in them for God's word to you and to us. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place, journeying by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water." And Moses said, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go, and I will stand before you by a rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out, and the people can drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And then he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord and said, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, the journey toward freedom is always harder than we think it would be. And the psalmist knows, as we heard today, that wherever our hearts are hard, we have no rest. So today, Lord, may we hear your voice, and for Christ's sake, may we follow it. In him we pray. Amen. One of the struggles of being American, of living in this country that is so blessed, one of the struggles of being Christians or just being people in the first world, is that we have so much we come to take it for granted. And if we made a list this morning, if I asked you to shout out some of the things we take for granted, there would be many on it. But one of them is so simple and so constantly present that we might not even think of it. Water. In survival situations, except for extreme cold, water is the most important thing you need. If you're active, you have just literally a few days that you can go without drinking. Water is one of your body's most important needs to be healthy and to function properly. I have a lifelong friend who went to work for a soft drink company. He's been at that since we graduated high school. And I remember way back when he told me that that company was going to start bottling and selling water. And I told him that was the dumbest idea I had ever heard, that no one would buy water. Well, that dumb idea is a billion-dollar industry, including some super expensive versions from glaciers and deep springs and far-off places, some of which are $100 a bottle. Interestingly enough, though, laboratory tests repeatedly show that almost all bottled water, on average, is no purer and no cleaner than the tap water in the United States. What people pay for as better is convenient, but for the most part, basically the same as what comes out of your faucet. That's how spoiled we are. Our water, though some complain about taste, has virtually no chance of making you sick, of giving you a disease, of having parasites in it. The first time I thought about this, I was in seminary, and there was a woman in a preaching class preaching, and during her sermon, she went on kind of a semi-rant about people who let the water run while they brush their teeth, which I have to admit, at the time, I did. As a kid, we were always told, turn off the water, but that was about the bill. It wasn't about the waste. But she said something different. She said that when we waste water, we lack awareness of others. And we lack appreciation for this precious resource. And it made sense. And really was the first time I realized that I took water completely for granted. Globally today, there are over 1 billion people who have no real access to clean water. There are about another 1 billion whose water is potable, meaning you can drink it, but it's impure. If we go to those places and drink the water, we get sick. In third world countries, around 1/3 of the illnesses are traced to waterborne diseases. And at any given time, this is amazing to me, statistics tell us that half the people in a hospital bed worldwide are there at least in part because of a waterborne illness. Of course, non-clean water or lack of water also means bad hygiene, no washing your hands, which leads to more disease. 1 in 5 deaths of children under 5 worldwide are from a lack of unclean water. And yet, in our world, in our country, 90%+ of the water we use is used for something other than drinking. Now, there are some great organizations doing wonderful work around the world to make it possible for people to access clean, healthy water. I would encourage you to get online, check them out. I would also encourage you, next time you take a simple drink of water, remember that it is indeed a blessing. In our text today, people are thirsty. It's not a surprise, they're in the desert. They've left Egypt. God has been leading them by a pillar of fire and cloud. They have been miraculously fed by manna and quail, and now they need water. And you get a sense of what's happening in this passage if you listen to the language of it. They quarrel with Moses. They grumble. They complain. They have seen the glory and power of God, but their gratitude, their being impressed, is short-lived. There's a wonderful line that starts this passage. It says, the people journeyed by stages, which is, in one sense, just geography. One translation says they went from place to place. They went a little ways at a time. But there is a spiritual truth here as well. They journeyed by stages. They started joyful. They started thankful. They left Egypt singing songs and shouting and yelling and worshiping, rejoicing over what God had done and praising Him. Then they got a little tired, but they were still thankful. Then they got a little more tired and they were less thankful. And little by little, they have become bitter. They're getting scared. They're starting to doubt. They're arguing. But they didn't get there all at once. They journeyed by stages. That feels true to me. Wherever we are in life, however we are in life, we likely got there a little bit at a time. Probably not one big step. If you are a person who is patient and gracious and joyful and thankful, there's a good chance that was cultivated a little bit at a time, step by step. Likewise, if we struggle, if we are bitter or cynical or angry or pessimistic, we probably got there stage by stage. Our journeys are almost always a step at a time, which makes it crucial to think about the direction every step we take. Israel's not in a good place. I don't mean the desert. Spiritually, they have lost sight of God. They're focusing on themselves, and they're getting bad results. They're arguing, they're complaining, they're getting bitter and not getting better. They're quarreling with Moses, which is a word that means to find fault, to nitpick or criticize. their grumbling, which is a great word that means to lay down at night or stay in a place, basically to camp. In Hebrew, it's used to mean holding a grudge. It means letting something camp in your heart, letting something stick in your mind, holding on to something. And Moses is worried. He sees this going south. He's not sure what to do. He prays to God. God gives him instructions. Interesting, the text only tells us that he did it. It doesn't tell us the story of him doing it. No description of the actual event. But water comes from the most unlikely place, a rock in the middle of the desert. By the way, this design that you see behind me from behind the cross, I've always thought picks up the idea, the symbolism of this passage. I've always thought, at least in part, that the designers had that in mind when they put that design together. The people are saved by the water and by their God, but they still aren't thankful. The text says Moses calls the place Massa, which means to test, and Meribah, which means to quarrel. Because the people tested God by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" I want to suggest that this is the key question, not just of the text. This is a key question of our life. The fundamental question that we are here to answer. And how we answer it is the foundation of how we live. It guides what we do, what we refuse to do, how we speak, how we act, how we treat others, our relationships. So much of our life hinges on the answer to this simple question: is God with us or not? Because if the answer is no, it's up to me. I'm in charge. The highest good is my way. I can be afraid. I can be fearful. I can be distrustful and bitter. I can let grudges camp out in my mind and my heart as long as I want. I can judge others. I can look out for myself. Because it's up to me. And only me. But if the answer is yes, if God is with me, then things are different. God is in control. I can trust Him. I don't need to be afraid because He is present. He sets my agenda. His grace leads me to be gracious. I can give thanks and I can have joy even in the deserts, even in the hard places of life, because He can provide and will provide in my difficult moments. And there is no reason for complaint, grumbling, or fear. Is the Lord among us or not? We have to answer that question in every stage of our journey. But like the Israelites, we're prone to forget. When we are thirsty, when we are tired, when we're concerned too much with self, we often get the question wrong. We forget God. We focus on me. If God is with us, then we are in good hands. We have reason to be grateful. We have reason to be faithful. We have reason to be gracious and kind. We have no reason to be afraid, to be bitter, to complain. Every stage of our journey, this question hangs over our step: is the Lord with us or not? And how we answer determines where we go, but how we go, how we get there. This answer determines what camps in our hearts: gratitude or selfishness, bitter or better, trust or fear. When Moses asked God what to do, God says, "Take your staff, go stand by the rock, I will stand before you." And of course, this is a reminder to Moses, as the water will be a reminder to everyone, that I am with you. But the word "before" is a wonderful word in Hebrew. It doesn't just mean in front of. It means preceding. It even means surpassing. In other words, I am before you also means I am above you. I am ahead of you. I am out front. I am first. Before every bad step in our life, for every sin we've committed, before every fear that has taken root in our heart, before every doubt we've struggled with, before every moment that we went a bad direction, that we took a bad step, there was a moment first where we forgot that God was with us. There was a moment we put ourselves first, that we tried to send God to the back so we could take the lead. When we either forgot or just ignored God and we did our own thing, we went our own way. Either not remembering or not caring that God was standing before us, that God was with us. Life is a journey that we take stages at a time. Life is a journey that we take steps at a time. And the question hanging over the journey that guides our steps along the way is, God with us or not? And how you answer that question determines where you end up, determines who you end up. Thankfully, in the grace of God, it is never too late to take a new step, to go a new direction, to move forward and know as we do that God Himself not only stands before us, but goes with us. Amen.